Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio Studios. And we are excited to be with you on this TV theme song Thursday. We got Eric Mangini, former NFL head coach, coming up in about 29 minutes. You don't want to miss that as the NFL draft nears. A lot of other things going on as well in the world of the National Football League. Let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What's up, bro?
What's happening? Happy Thursday. Happy TV theme song Thursday. We'll be playing your favorite TV themes. You know, you can hit me up on social media at Rob Parker FS1 and I'll relay them to Iowa Sam. But all is good on this beautiful Thursday in Los Angeles.
All right. That's good to hear. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. Keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83. We're going to introduce the Odd Couple crew quickly. As you heard Rob say, Iowa Sam is in the house. In for DJ Alex Teichert. Super producer Rob G is here for once. Yes, I think this is 3 days in a row for him. That's awesome. And on the updates, our man,
David Gascon.
David Gascon. I didn't hear the lead. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me in my ear, Iowa Sam. All right, that's our man David Gascon II on the updates. All right, Rob, let's get to it. And we talked about it yesterday, but the big return of Kevin Durant. And what a return it was.
I mean, you were sweating it. You thought there was something wrong with him because he didn't play.
He didn't play the first 16 minutes almost.
He didn't start. Oh, he still hasn't played.
Fine with that. Right,
and then all of a sudden he came out and he looked like a house on fire.
I think he should have started, but it's not a big deal. But remember, Allen Iverson used to make a big deal out of that. Come back from injury. I should start. He played great, Rob. 17 points in 19 minutes.
Didn't miss a shot.
Nothing. Rob, 17 points on 5 shots. Think about that.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. He had a 118 true field goal percentage. 118. That is like 60 and above is really good. The leader this year is 73% true field goal percentage. And that, you know, a lot of that's based on free throws and 3-point shots. But 118. Think about Rob. If he went 5 for 5 from 3, he wouldn't have had 17 points.
Right.
So that's how good he was. And Rob, in the 19 minutes he was on the court, I don't know if you saw these numbers, their offensive rating was 143.
It was so easy when he was out there because you had to respect him. He was making passes to people, Chris. I know he had 7 rebounds. He wasn't tentative.
5 dimes.
He had 6 turnovers. The only thing is he had a couple times where he passed the ball, was deflected for a turnover. Right. He was a little sloppy with the basketball. But I watched his entire stretch once he came in the game, and I thought he looked spectacular. I thought if you're one of the other teams in the East or the Lakers or the Clippers or anybody – with hopes, you're looking at him saying, if this guy's healthy and they get Harden back, I don't know. I mean, he looked great. I don't know what else to say. He looked
Rob,
great.
If everybody's healthy, Durant, Harden, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, if everybody's healthy, there's still only one team that can beat the Nets.
The Nets.
That's it. It's going to have to be some type of implosion. Kyrie's in the wrong state of mind. DeAndre Jordan's upset about his minutes. Durant wants to, you know, buck the system and start scoring too much or shooting too much. Or just lack of familiarity, which we don't think will be a problem. Those are the only, like, basketball-wise, they're going to roll. They're going to roll.
We saw Blake Griffin last night too, Chris. I mean, how did he look to you in the
great
15 minutes he played? I mean,
had a throwback dunk. He's looking good, and so is Aldridge. Aldridge had 22 points because, Rob, they look relieved that they don't have to carry the team.
Right.
You know, which they both have done.
I totally agree with that. It's a big difference between you're the big dog, and now all I got to do is just go out and play and put up my, you know, put up my numbers. We're going to win. Those guys over there will make sure we win, and all I got to do is do my part and come out. That's it.
Right. Easy. And look, they were good. They were really good lead men. They weren't good enough to lead you to a championship, but they were legit. I mean, they were, you know, perennial all-stars, so nothing away from them. But now, you know, with, as you said, the three guys drawing so much attention, even if it's just two of them, it's going to be fun and easy for those guys, as well as the other role players. But, Rob, KD, we know he has his podcast, and he had his Draymond Green, his buddy, still buddies after the big blow-up in Golden State a couple years ago.
He wouldn't be on my podcast. Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you be like it's over, like we ain't cool no more? That'd be like, say, me and you had that situation. Not to put it out there like that, but, you know. Would you be done with that guy?
It would. There are situations and circumstances that you would be done. It would have to be. In that case, I don't know. I just thought Draymond, that was extreme to do that, like, and do
the
it publicly.
B-word.
Yeah, but right. It publicly, too. Like, we didn't have, right. like, a, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that was extreme.
He said that to LeBron, too. In the finals, and obviously they're cool.
Yeah. I guess everybody's different. I don't know. I'd have to really feel like somebody really was trying to do something against me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would have to be like that.
But anyway, they talked about, you know, there's this myth, this urban legend out there that after they lost to LeBron and dropped the 3-1 lead to lose the finals in 2016.
You mean when Steph led the choke? Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean the one few weeks after Durant led the choke. After Durant led the choke in the conference finals. But anyway, Draymond in tears called KD from his car in the parking lot. That's the myth. Draymond and KD said it really wasn't like that. Here they are on KD's podcast.
From my end, we sent some texts on some just, yo, I seen that. You seen that? I bet. That's really what it was, bro.
That's exactly what it was.
And like, it wasn't like no urgent FaceTime call. Like, it was just like exactly what I just said. Like, yo, you seen what just happened? Bet. All right, I'm on the way.
Wow. I'm on the way.
That's the frustration of listening to players talk to other players. That's just my public service.
You're saying that could be a little fudging of the truth?
Yeah, just, I just, Chris.
It don't make KD look bad if Draymond was crying. It's actually a little better.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, and then they don't really say it. You know, it's always like whenever you listen to guys talk, it's always like it kind of inside. They know what they're talking about, and they really don't come out and say it. I just say it. That's the frustrating part because he didn't say really what happened.
Right.
Well, you see that, and I just said, all right, you see that? All right, I'll be there. I'm on my way.
Right.
What does that mean?
A reporter would have been like, so Draymond, you weren't crying.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, okay, because that's what's out there, that you were crying.
That you were crying and you called him from the parking lot and you had Kleenex in one hand and your phone in the other. You know, is that what went on? Paint the scene for me. You know what I mean? Like,
I would. And KD was acting like at that moment it was a done deal, wasn't it?
Right.
Because why'd you go through all these meetings with the Clippers and all these other teams, if it was it done at that moment? Did you, you know, you're right.
It just seemed like
that's why you need reporters, y'all.
Yep.
That's just letting you know. Yep. That's why you need report. You got a much bigger, fuller picture of this. But let's throw the I want to throw this out, Rob, because Durant still, and we heard it from none other than the great Walt Frazier, but there's others that have this mental or imaginary asterisk by his two championships. A lot of people felt like, Rob, when he went to Brooklyn, it was to prove, okay, I can do it without this super stacked squad. And they feel like, well, now, heck, that's out the window. I want to throw this at you first. Is Kevin Durant better off having gone to Golden State? Forget being in Brooklyn if they went to, like, is he better off that he made that move, or would he have been better staying in OKC?
I don't know. If they would have won, they could. If they won an OKC, then it would have been, to me, even bigger. Whenever you start something and you can complete it without going to get help, I just think it looks better. It doesn't mean that. And then the other thing that helped him is that he was the finals MVP both years. So it wasn't like, you know, he went to the Warriors. It was Steph's team. Steph won the next two. It was all about Steph, and he was the side piece. I think it helped that he was the MVP in the finals just for that, for him himself. But I think if he would have stayed in OKC and delivered a championship to that franchise after being, you know, drafted with Seattle and then the move into OKC, I just think it's a better story. That's all. There is no question.
I do agree with you. Now, we don't know if he would have won, right? We have no
idea. I'm saying if he would have won, that story's better.
Had he stayed there and won one, because he only won two. I mean, I don't want to say it like to diminish two.
Well,
but
two out of 3 years.
Three.
Right,
There's a big difference between a three-peat, which has only been done, Rob, three times since Bill Russell, twice by Jordan and once by Shaq and Kobe. So had the Warriors three-peated, that's, to me, that would have been more valuable than one championship in OKC. But I'll give you that one in OKC, small market, new market, you know, moving from Seattle, his own team, because even though he was the best player, I'll contend it was Steph's team. I think Steph was the most important player on that team. But I think one in OKC would have been more higher regarded than the two in Golden State. And like you said, there obviously wouldn't be any thought of an asterisk. And had he just left this year or, you know, 2 years ago to go to Brooklyn, you know, it would have been like he's coming there kind of like Kyrie. Like, nobody looks at Kyrie. Okay, they might want to say he wasn't the leader of that team. It was LeBron's team. But still, he hit the huge shot. He was the point guard. So you don't usually expect the point guard to be necessarily the main scorer and all that. So nobody looks at Kyrie, though, and shoots down his one ring.
And no, so, and especially because he had that big shot. It was a big comeback. It's hard to take that away from him. Do you know what I mean, Chris?
Absolutely. Like, he was huge. They don't win that without Kyrie.
Right.
You know, simple as that. So in that regard, I do think but I think he would have been better if we're imagining had he won in OKC. But I don't know that they would have, Rob. I mean, they had their chance that year. They blew it up 3-1 on Golden State. And they always had problems with Cleveland anyway. Like, LeBron dominated KD, Cleveland, OKC. I think it was 17-4 or something in regular season matchup. So I don't know that they could have beat Cleveland. I don't think they would have. So I think all things considered, we don't know that he would have won in OKC. He's better off, as much as people want to, oh, it's an asterisk. Oh, it was Steph's team. Oh, you know, he didn't prove he could lead a team. He's still a two-time champion. He's got the monkey off his back. And to your point, Rob, he was the finals MVP.
Right.
And
that
so
helps.
You know, can you imagine if Kevin Durant right now, if he didn't have a title? Like, he'd be under immense pressure. So I think all of that's gone, even with the talk, all of that pressure's gone. So I think he still was better off making the move. Because even as people want to put an asterisk there, nobody disrespects his game. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
no.
Nobody disrespects that. So, but the interesting thing is, you know, this year, will it take away from many people that imaginary asterisk. Let's throw this out to the listeners. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. You can answer one of two or both questions. Is KD better off having gone to Golden State? And with this stacked team in Brooklyn, will this kind of erase that asterisk from the mentally that some people put on his championships if Brooklyn goes ahead and wins it this year? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is Iowa Sam's song. I have no idea what this is, Rob. Is this a request?
Jackass.
That's what he said. I think I've heard of that. That's a show, obviously.
Yeah. What kind that of, was what an MTV is... show? Was that MTV?
Okay.
Johnny Knoxville,
I haven't heard of that show or Johnny Knoxville, but okay. Hey, I'll go with it. It's a theme TV theme song Thursday, so there you have it. All right, with the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio Studios, 877-99 on Fox. We're talking Kevin Durant, asterisk removed. Your turn to weigh in. Your thoughts.
All right, let's kick it off with Tony in D.C. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
Fellas, what's good? Always a pleasure. Hope all is well in your lives.
Sir. Yes, bro.
I never personally put an asterisk next to Durant because he went to Golden State and instantly became the best player. And it's an interesting thing about Durant is, and Chris has said this many a time, Kevin Durant is so uniquely skilled. He can fit into any system.
Yep. Right.
And still be the best player, but not overshadow everybody else. You know, right. where LeBron goes, he becomes the system.
Right.
Kevin
right.
Durant
Look, let's put
needs
it this
to be,
way. If LeBron was with Brooklyn, I mean, look, they'd be ridiculously great, but it'd be a whole lot tougher adjustment for everybody.
Yeah, because if you put Durant with that same team with Bosh and Wade, or with Love and Kyrie, I don't think Bosh and Kevin Love become these perimeter just spot up shooters.
Right.
I think he's so good. You can put him in any kind of offense. He's not a liability on defense. So I mean, he's a back to back MVP. He took all the big shots. I mean, there's no asterisk. We need to appreciate this man for the best pure hooper of his generation. That's all I got to say.
Better than LeBron? Hello?
Did we lose Tony?
He hung up after that because he knew. Slow down. He's great. And I know Robbie put pure hooper. So I think he's trying to, you know, couch it, like, yeah, well, you know, just skills, shooting the basketball, all that. But, no, come on. He's great. He's not better than LeBron.
Zach in Detroit, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Zach?
Hi, how you doing?
What's up,
man?
I'm doing good. So, long-time listener, don't really get to call, but I really appreciate you guys for the show. You guys put a great perspective. And you guys really got me through this pandemic. This radio got me into radio. So I just wanted to thank you real quick.
Zach, thank you, we appreciate that. Where in Detroit are you, Zach?
Southfield.
Southfield. I lived in Southfield. You know that, right?
Yeah, I've heard.
12 Mile.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I lived on 12 Mile.
Okay,
right there, yeah.
That's correct.
He left his mark, supposedly, Zach.
Who, me? In Detroit?
Yeah, that's what
the
I
people
hear.
In Detroit know who I am. I spent 20 years there, Chris. All right, go ahead, Zach.
Anyways, so my point with Kevin Durant is that, so if you do have an asterisk, this year's championship wouldn't help that because in a lot of people's eyes, this is still a super team. So,
but hold like, on, let me say this, Zach.
No, yeah.
All right, here we go. Stay on the line. Okay, so he comes back. He wasn't playing. He leads the Nets to the championship. He won the, you know, he won the finals MVP. The Nets had never won a championship before they got there. Yes, you're right. It's a super team or assembled, but they did trade to get Harden. It was supposed to be Kyrie and him, and they traded and gave away pieces to get the third piece. The other two guys were cut and were free agents to sign. I mean, it's a little different. A little different.
Here's
one
what
thing
I'll
say though.
I wouldn't. Go ahead, call it. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Zach.
Like with Blake Griffin and Aldridge, like, yeah, you can say they're washed, but their IQ is on a different level than role players, you know?
Yeah.
And you can see the way they play.
Nobody's denying. It's stupid to deny it's a super team. And Rob wasn't saying that. Like, nobody would deny this is maybe the ultimate super team. So
right,
that's
but
not,
it was just constructed differently is what I was
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, which I don't – I mean, it's still a super team. Here's what I'll say, Rob. Will this championship, assuming they win it, even if he's finals MVP, will it, like, elevate his all-time status from what, I don't know, 13, 14, whatever you got him, 15? No, I don't think so. But it won't hurt it. I'm not – nobody's demoting him because, oh, look at all that they got. You know what I mean? Like, I think he probably stays around where he's at. But here's the thing, Rob. Even if they – if he gets to, like, four rings
– or five. What
even
if they win three
right,
in a row?
If they win five, like, even if they win three in a row, because even though you are stacked, you still have to go and deliver. The Miami Heat were stacked, and they
only won two out of four, right?
Right. So two or three, then I think he can still start elevating even as the team is stacked.
Hey, Zach, appreciate the call and the support. Hey, what about Drew in New Jersey? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Drew?
How you guys doing? So I got
What's
a
up,
couple
man?
Names I want to bring out. Christian Ayanga, J.J. Hickson, Luke Jackson, and Shannon Brown. What do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? They were
we
all
ain't got
from
all night. 2000, so go ahead.
Yeah, from 2004 to 2010, they're all the Cleveland Cavaliers first-round picks. All I'm saying is, how can you honestly compare LeBron's situation to, you know, what the situation in Oklahoma City? If you're hitting on back-to-back three drafts in a row, OKC hit on players, not one of those players Cleveland hit on.
What is your point?
My point is, he didn't need to leave. KD didn't need to leave. He had a good situation. You can win. Like,
he had a better team.
He
had a better supporting cast.
There's no doubt he had a better supporting cast. But, yeah, well, we'll agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the same team.
And he didn't get it done in OKC. He didn't get it done. There's no nobody's denying that. All right, we got Eric Mangini coming up in a few minutes. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Thank you, Gas Man. It's The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're excited for our next guest. He's a former NFL head coach and an FS1 NFL analyst. And from what I heard, I saw him on TV last week, I think it was. A big MF Doom fan, the late great MF Doom. Yes, that's what's in your iPod, huh?
Well, you know, I like to keep it real.
oh yeah, the original
underground hip hop. I'll tell you that.
My son Jake is a huge MF Doom fan, so he introduced me to it. I'm probably not at his level yet, but I'm I appreciate the art.
Yes, yes. Now, he was legit, no doubt about it. All right, Eric, let's get to it. Let's start with Sam Darnold, your former team, the Jets. They traded Darnold. They're going to take a quarterback at two. Looks like Zach Wilson's what everybody's saying. Do you think this is the right move to move on from Darnold and go with one of these young quarterbacks?
That is a great question. What's happened a lot, Chris, is – there's a little bit of the Ryan Tannehill effect. Because Tannehill has done as well as he's done, people are concerned about moving away from a young quarterback and then having him go somewhere else and play at a high level. you know, you can look at Sam Darnold's career and you can say, well, there's been inconsistencies with coaching. There's been different setbacks that have happened, and that's why he is where he is. Or you could look at it and say that he hasn't achieved anywhere near what the expectation was. Now, Carolina is looking at the first way, where because of all the external things, his potential has not been reached. And I'm not sure if I agree with that.
The other thing, Eric, is it seems like coaches and general managers are more apt to, if I jump off a guy and go get a new guy, and in the Jets situation, they have a GM who didn't draft Darnold, you got a new coach, you automatically get 3 or 4 years. You know, like, hey, just got here, I'm trying to develop the kid. It kind of resets the clock. Does that go on as well?
There is an element of resetting the clock, but it's more, Rob, about if you really believe the guy that's sitting there when you're drafting into that two spot is truly a franchise quarterback that you're going to have for not only a long time, but you're going to be able to compete year in and year out to at least get to the playoffs and then beyond, you've got to go get that guy. And look, you better have a pretty serious conviction, and you're hoping organizationally that you're not going to be up at 1 or 2 anytime in the near future. But when you do have those opportunities, if there is a strong enough feeling, you have to take the quarterback.
Chris, let me follow up with this. The Sam Darnold, could he wind up like Jared Goff, who looked like a bust his first year with Steve Fisher was the head coach? Jeff Fisher, I'm sorry. Steve Fisher's the basketball coach. Jeff Fisher. And then McVay comes in, and all of a sudden they got the fifth greatest offense ever, and Jared Goff makes the Pro Bowl a couple times, leads them to the Super Bowl. A change of coach and philosophy or offensive coordinator, can that make that big of a difference to a quarterback?
Well, definitely, Robbie. And that's what I was referencing with Ryan Tannehill,
right,
him going from Miami to Tennessee and what he's done and how he's grown. But that Jared Goff story, yet you didn't continue it where he then gets traded because they try to upgrade him. So is this a short-term bump?
Yeah, but you got to give him credit. I mean, he looked like a total bust his rookie year, and they did make it to the Super Bowl. He did make the Pro Bowl 2 years in a row. That's all I'm saying.
No, I totally agree with that. But with Sam Darnold, you're bringing him in, and you're moving off from Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to be a $20 million salary cap hit. And when you look at Teddy's numbers last year, his numbers in every category were better than Sam Darnold's.
Who do you think is better?
So why is
Teddy's
that
better?
Yes,
because some people think that.
Well, you're looking at a young quarterback versus a quarterback who has more seasons. So you're saying you're banking on the fact that the Giants or that the Jets mismanaged this player over the course of his early career. That's what Carolina's banking on. This potential that he showed in college that everybody believed in was mismanaged, and that's why he is where he is, and that's why he's performed the way he's performed. And they think that with our system, with our coaching, we're going to be able to turn this guy into a much better player than he's shown to this point.
Former NFL head coach Eric Mangini joining the iCouple. You mentioned with the Jets, if you think you can get that quarterback at number two who's going to be your franchise guy for the next 12, 15 years, you got to take him. Do you think Zach Wilson or one of the other guys below Trevor Lawrence is that guy?
This draft to me is amazing on a lot of levels, because when you look at the next pick, who's the guy there that's worth three number ones?
Right.
So you've got the first two picks, and now San Francisco is saying the third guy, we feel so strongly about that player that we're willing to mortgage the future. And we see how mortgaging the future has worked out for Houston. You know, so I will be amazed if all of these quarterbacks hit at the level that the teams think they're going to hit at. And odds are that they won't.
Right.
You know, everybody has a different feeling about each one of these players in terms of in talking to people and watching them, how strongly they feel about their potential and their strengths and their weaknesses. And a big part of the evaluation, too, is getting to know these guys. You know, you see that they're going to the pro days, they're spending a bunch of time with them, trying to understand who the leader is, who the human being is, what type of person are you bringing to the building, and is he really up for leading an NFL team?
Eric, you mentioned Houston, and I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. Obviously, a man is innocent until proven guilty. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Just a crazy scene that's gotten worse. As a coach or an organization, and you see a player in this situation in the public and, you know, and just even the talk that's going on and the allegations, how does an organization work through that? You know what I mean? Do you just support the guy because, you know, there's no final verdict here on anything? Or how does – it just seems like it's spiraled out of control.
Yeah, it's a really difficult situation because everybody is innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
And you want to be supportive to your player, and you also want to recognize the seriousness of the allegations. And you want to make sure that you're respectful to the people who are bringing those allegations forward, and you're respectful to everybody involved. And it is a fine line to walk, and there's no one way to handle it. Each situation is so different that there's a lot of conversation between yourself, the GM, ownership, the league, and you're trying to do the best you can in a, you know, a bad situation.
I want to close with this. Mac Jones, he's been compared to Tom Brady. Obviously, nobody really needs to be compared to him because you're not going to live up to that. But do you like him as much as maybe the 49ers do, who might take him at three? And do you see similarities to Brady? We're not going to compare him, but do you see some similarities there?
Well, they're both really immobile. They move. Look, Mac Jones moves well in the pocket, and he's running an offense and a system that I imagine is advanced, and he's with as close to a professional team as you can be with. And in watching him, it looks like he makes full field reads and good decisions, and you appreciate and respect that. But you also look at it and say, he's playing with almost a pro team, and they're better than almost every team they face by a lot. And two first-round wide receivers, potentially a first-round running back, they're just so loaded. It's hard to say how much of it is him and how much of it is everybody else who is supporting him. And then even if he comes into the league and it is him, what's his upside? Because typically from those higher programs, guys are really well developed by the time they get into the league.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's going to be interesting. The thing you said, I think that was powerful, is that all five of these quarterbacks aren't going to hit. And so, but people are talking about all of them like they're going to be all pros.
It's a crapshoot, the NFL, with picking quarterbacks. We've seen that.
And Eric, let's close on that quickly, and we got about a minute. How much of a crapshoot is, because we've had some people on who've said, oh, well, if you know how to scout, remember that, Rob? If you know how to scout, then you can pick the quarterback. Some people just don't know what they're doing.
Who said that?
We won't name the name, but we had a guest recently who said that. And Rob and I do. I agree with Rob. I mean, we've seen great college quarterbacks just not do it in the NFL. Like, tell us about it. You agree that it's a crapshoot, and how do you manage something
yes.
like that?
Yes. You look at the volume of first-round draft picks that don't hit. You look at the Tom Brady's in the sixth, and Russell Wilson's in, what did Russell go, third or fourth?
Montana.
Right.
Yeah, it goes on and on. If anybody figured out the formula,
they'd be a billionaire because everybody would want to buy whatever that magic potion was, to where they can say definitively that is the guy who's going to be the franchise quarterback. Look at San Francisco. So they've moved up 2 first-round draft picks, but they also passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson when they had a chance to draft him.
Right. So, and Darnold was the number 3 pick.
Right.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. And this is a young guy. This is a college guy, and you're projecting him into your system, and things are radically different in the NFL in terms of the complexity of the coverages, the complexity of the scheme that you're running. You know, whether they're up for that or not, it's far from a certainty.
That's our man, Eric Mangini. We appreciate the knowledge, Coach.
Miss you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Great to talk to you.
Yes, no doubt. You too. All right. Okay, we got a Masters update and a little bit of Tiger as well. That's next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Iowa Sam is a big, Nickelodeon, MTV, Disney guy. Because this is a song, All That, Rob. You ever see All That on Nickelodeon? I can't say I have. I can't even say I heard of it.
What?
My daughters, did they maybe? I don't know when it was out, but they may have watched it. 1990? 1990, you say? Yeah, 90s. No, they were
popular show in the
90s. So it was big in the 90s, apparently. All right. Iowa Sam watched it.
Did you watch it, Iowa Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he. I like it. It's got that little 90s groove, that little
What is that, Moesha?
Groove. I thought that's what it sounded like, Moesha, but no, it's All That, a show called All That that was on Nickelodeon. Anyway, we're the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Quickly, Rob G's going to give us an update on the Masters. What's going on out there?
Well, Justin Rose out to a big lead after the first day, 7 under par. Two other former winners, Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth, a couple of strokes back. But the big story, at least in my opinion, is what we're seeing from the favorites. Dustin Johnson shot a 2 over, currently 9 strokes back. And then our man Lamar Mitchell call him? Bryson DeChambeau? I think, he's like 11 strokes back.
Wow.
So, you know, not a good day for the favorites out on the Masters.
No. And Rob, I don't mean this literally, but it seems like it's never really good for the majors in golf when Tiger Woods isn't involved. I mean, as far as buzz, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are great golfers. We get all that. But
as Tiger's around, Chris, you know, once he's not there anymore, it'll be different. But it's true. I mean, Tiger was such the magnet, and then the way he played and when he won his first, you know, Masters and how dominating he was and put everything on the map and changed the way people, you know, had interest in golf all of a sudden. Right. I tell the story a million times. I watched him win the Masters on my honeymoon. He cost me my marriage. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Because I was too busy watching golf.
Yeah. And that black onslaught that he led on golf, you know? You wouldn't have as many black golfers now as you have.
Yeah, but none of what really made it, though. That's the thing that's amazing. I know, right. I was going to say, like,
you know, they got one this year in the field.
But it didn't, Chris, like, have the effect that you thought it would, right?
It had an effect in that.
People want to
know
play.
This, yeah, the average black person, I think, plays a lot more golf than they did before Tiger or would have without Tiger. Would you agree? Like, I mean, my parents and friends of mine, and I'll even play here and there. And, you know, like, I do think it is something that more blacks do casually now, but it didn't lead to those, you know, making it to the pros and stuff like that, obviously.
Not,
would you agree
not
with
at
that?
All. Yeah, not at all. It just it didn't, if it would have been like, I don't know, 4 black golfers emerged or something, do you know what I mean? You would have said that's the Tiger effect.
Right.
These guys all wanted to be like Tiger. They started playing golf at an early age. If you remember watching the video of Tiger Woods as a 2 or 3 year old on the Douglas show. I mean, that's incredible. You know what I mean? Like that tells you where that kid was at that point.
Right. You know, Rob, you also didn't see it in tennis from the Williams sisters.
No.
Now you see some. You probably see a few more than you used to. You know, some from France, and you know, obviously you've got some females, black females from America, but again, it's not an overwhelming number of blacks like you thought you might see, you know, in both of these sports. So, all right, we got 2 hours left. All right, couple, keep it locked.